Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
This is something that is so vitally important for us, that we have confidence in the Lord. We have to read this and we have to say, that was great for David and that is great for me today, because what was true for David is true for me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues in his series, The Songs of the Saints. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on Psalm 27 and a message titled, Wait on the Lord. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
Here we are today, and as you heard the scripture reading, Psalm 27, that's going to be our text today, or portions of that psalm will be our text today. But let's talk for a moment about songs. Songs are the musical expression of a person's or a people's hopes, dreams, loves, longings, fears, failures, beliefs, doubts, joys, griefs, and on it goes. We've heard all of those things expressed in songs. Songs can impact us powerfully in a personal way, stirring our emotions to heights of joy sometimes even to depths of sadness. Songs can also simply make us feel good. There are songs that you could almost just call feel-good songs. They remind us of a pleasant time or place perhaps in our life. They sort of have the power to transport us back into those moments. Songs can leave their marks or their mark on the lives of individuals as well as whole cultures. I bet that many of you would be able to name a song or two that you would say has even just been part of your life's journey. You heard it at a certain point, it really touched you, and it just became a favorite song, and it's kind of marked your life. If people were to ask, you know, a question maybe of a mutual friend about, hey, do you know what song they like? And they might be able to say, oh yeah, these are their favorite songs. And so songs are like that. I think of how much American culture today has been marked. Well, there's different aspects of American culture, even as I say that. But, you know, much of American culture has been marked by the music of the 50s and the 60s, otherwise known as the oldies. Of course, there's a whole section of the country that has been more marked by country music. But when I think of the 50s and the 60s, you think of, you know, Elvis Presley, you think of the Beatles, you think maybe of Diana Ross or the Beach Boys or Smokey Robinson, or, you know, some of these different names that if you're driving along today and you turn on the radio, there's a good chance that you're going to hear those songs being played still today. It's amazing. Then there is the classic rock. I actually love it. I'm walking through a market or something, and one of those songs from the past will come on, and I just think, oh, I'd love this song, or, you know, just this wave of nostalgia will sort of sweep over us. So as enjoyable as all of that can be and is for many of us, there are things that none of those songs, no matter how good they were or are, no matter how much they might have emotionally touched us, there are certain things that they can never do for us. They can never reach into the depths of our hearts and bring true love, hope, wisdom, peace, transforming power. You see, those songs, they don't have the ability to do that. But the songs that we are going to be discussing, the songs of the saints, they have that power. And when I say the songs of the saints, I'm talking specifically about the Psalms in the Bible, the book of Psalms. Now, the word psalm means songs. And so we're going to be looking at the book of Psalms. There are other songs of the saints as well. There are the great hymns of the church. There are the more modern choruses and worship songs. And all of those things can have a very powerful impact, even a life-transforming impact on our lives, as much as they are faithful to Scripture and communicating biblical content. But the Psalms, even above that, have the uniqueness of being Scripture. So the Psalms are songs that are unique in history. So the book of Psalms was the worship hymnal book, if you will, for the nation of Israel. But the unique thing about this book of songs is that they are songs of the people of God, born out of every experience known to humanity, expressed through prophets, priests, princes, who wrote their experiences as they were, here's the key, moved by the Holy Spirit. This is the Psalms' uniqueness, human experience channeled through the Spirit of God. So you see, that's why these songs stand out from all other songs. You know, sometimes I think about how we hear songs today that are still popular, even though they might be 50, close to 60 years old. They're popular not just among the generation that originally heard them, but they're popular among even the younger generation today. I think of how many young people today are Beatles fans. And, you know, the Beatles are like, they could be their great grandparents. And so we, you know, certain songs, we might consider them classic songs because they have this longevity. They just, they're from generation to generation, they are just kind of there present. Of course, the classical music would fall into that category. But think about the Psalms. The Psalms are amazing. Just think Psalm 23, for example. The Lord is my shepherd. That song is 3,000 years old. And it's still very, very popular today among many people. It's part of the Bible. The Bible's the number one best-selling book, and the Psalms are right there in it. Let me quote to you a quote regarding the Psalms. The Psalms are so very complex in the same way that life is complex. We can relate with the psalmist as he contemplates the path of wisdom and the path of folly. We sympathize with him when he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Or when he prays, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Or avenge me because of my enemies. The psalmist had high highs and low lows, great moments of faith and deep pits of despair and doubt. It's been said that whereas Scripture speaks to us, the Psalms in particular speak for us. So this is, the psalmist would communicate the experiences of people in these psalms. And so we find in them delight and fear, anger, joy, grief, depression, gladness, loneliness, love, loss. But while the psalms allow us to express our raw emotion, and you find that quite frequently in the psalms, this raw emotion being expressed, they simultaneously seek to shape them into righteous ones. So even though there's this rawness of emotion, yet all the way through the Psalms, there's this thing where the Spirit is seeking to bring these emotions into conformity to what God would have. And so I think the Psalms is the perfect place to pause and to be refreshed for us during this time where things are still perplexing, where things are still uncertain, where we still don't know exactly what's ahead. Of course, in our own lives personally, we could say that, but I'm speaking more, you know, generally with the state of the world right now. We are in one of those unusual and somewhat extraordinary times where it's almost from day to day. We don't really know what the next day will bring. So I want to look at these Psalms in the context of where we're living at right now. And so I've just selected Psalms. We're not going in any particular order through them. I've just selected a handful that I think are going to speak to us in the moment. That is the key thing for me. So here we are with Psalm 27. But one final thing before I jump into Psalm 27. A song, of course, one thing about a song is it increases our ability to remember. Isn't it amazing how we can remember songs from so long ago? You know, I read lots of books and, you know, I'll read a book and you ask me, you know, what it said. And I will struggle a lot of times to even, you know, especially verbatim, to spit a paragraph out, sometimes maybe even a sentence. But with a song, my goodness, I can go back 50 years plus in, and I can remember the lyrics to a song. The tune, the minute I hear the tune, the lyrics just start going. And that is what these are. And many of these psalms have been, in our contemporary time, have been put to music. So I've asked our worship team to, during this time, include a couple of psalms each week in the set so that we can get these psalms coming through the song so that we can get them lodged in our hearts and minds. So Psalm 27, it's a psalm of David, we read. Now, David is the writer of the majority of the psalms. He wrote the majority of them, but he didn't write all of them. There were other writers, and as most Bibles will tell you, who the psalm was authored by. So majority David, Asaph, Heman, Kohath, you know, other names will be mentioned as well. And one psalm, Psalm 90, is written by Moses, interestingly enough. And we're going to look at Psalm 90. It's a great, great psalm. So David's the author generally. He's the author of this psalm. And here in this psalm, a psalm about the certainty of deliverance from his enemies, David expresses three things that I want us to focus on today. He expresses, number one, his confidence, what his confidence is in, or rather, who his confidence is in. Secondly, he expresses his own singular focus. And then thirdly, he expresses his faith and the ensuing posture that proceeds from his faith. So let's look, first of all, in verses 1-3, look at what David says here. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And then he goes on and he says, "When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rises against me, in this I will be confident." In this I will be confident. So this is the confidence of David. What is it? His confidence is in, first of all, the Lord himself. And so that's what he says. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Now, when David's speaking of the Lord, he's speaking of Yahweh. He's speaking of the God of Israel. And we today understand that the God of Israel is also none other than Jesus Christ. So when we talk about our confidence being in the Lord, we want to think in those terms. We think in terms of the Lord. For David, the Lord is the creator. He's the sustainer of all things. He's the maker of heaven and earth and the sky and the sea and everything that inhabits them. And of course, that's exactly who he is. But for us, we have an even further revelation. The Lord is the one who walked among us. The Lord is the one who rebuked the wind and the waves. The Lord is the one who walked on the water. The Lord is the one who provided for the hungry multitudes with just the loaves and the fish. He multiplied them and fed the people. The Lord is the one who takes care of disease and sickness and these things. So when we say the Lord, we're talking about the Creator. We're talking about the one who sustains everything, but we're also talking about the one who came and lived among us and healed the lepers, gave sight to the blind, gave speech to those who couldn't speak, hearing to those who couldn't hear, to the one who actually even raised the dead. So David says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. He is the strength of my life. And then he says at the end of verse 3, in this I will be confident. His confidence is in the Lord. And this is something that is so vitally important for us, that we have confidence in the Lord. And we can have confidence in the Lord. You know, what we have to be careful not to do is we have to be careful not to read the Bible and to read a psalm like this and to think about David and say, well, that was great for David, but what about me today? No, we have to read this and we have to say, that was great for David and that is great for me today, because what was true for David is true for me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. And we cannot forget that. And everything around us, you know, we live in a world that is just fully secularized, right? We live in a world where, man, you got to, in some ways, in society, you got to search to find God. People are trying to keep him as much out of the picture as possible. Now David lived amongst a people who were the people of God. And so for him, but even among some of the people of God, there were those who were rebellious. And so he talks here about his enemies. Sometimes those could be foreigners, but a lot of times they were people from right within the nation who were opposing and resisting God and resisting him as well. But my point is this. We live in an environment that is actually set up to keep us from thinking about God, keep us from trusting God, keep us from believing in God. And like I said, from all of the things that go on around us to the input that we get from almost every place, it's the same message. You know, don't trust in God. Don't believe God. God can't help you. There is no God. Oh, that's superstition. Oh, you can't depend on any of that. So we have to, like David, we have to intentionally say, no, the Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. In this, I will be confident. Despite all the noise and all the voices that would try to tell me otherwise, no, I'm going to be confident in this very thing. The Lord is my light and my salvation. He is my strength. And so we can have that same confidence. We must have that same confidence. Because as we said, with the Psalms, we're talking about God's presence and help in the context of all of the troubles and the difficulties of life. And so it's in these times and places that we need to have that kind of confidence, and we can. Now, David had this unwavering confidence. Doesn't mean that he didn't have his moments where he wondered what was going on, but he had this unwavering confidence. And this was, in a sense, related to the second point, because the second point is regarding David's singular focus. So look at verse 4 and also at verse 8. Verse 4, he says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. So David's confidence is really, in many ways, it's the result of his singular focus. David was singular focused. He said, one thing have I desired. And again, in a world that's as crazy as our world is, and in a world that's as busy as our world is, to have that singular focus is a challenge. We have to intentionally focus on the Lord. But it comes back to desire. One thing have I desired. That's where David is. In his deepest heart of hearts, more than anything else, he wants the Lord. He wants to know the Lord. And as he expresses here, what he's really talking about is he wants to sense the presence of God in his life. So he says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. So David lived at a time, of course, the temple wasn't built. David would be the one who would supply the materials and his son Solomon would build it. But there was the tabernacle that was the place of God's dwelling prior to the temple. But I think here too, David's even looking beyond that. He's thinking about the Lord's temple literally in heaven. And he's saying, I want to experience God's presence. I want to experience God's presence here on earth, just like it is in heaven. And for us, knowing God's presence, experiencing God's presence, this is what the Christian life is. It's about, it's living in the presence of God. And the people of God, historically, that has been the thing. You know, we thank God for the blessings. We thank God for all the benefits. We thank him for forgiveness of sins. And we thank him for eternal life. And we thank him for the knowledge that we gain of him, you know, through his word. We thank him for all these things. But the thing beyond all of that that we want is to know him experientially and to sense his presence in our life. And David, that's his longing as well. But listen to what he says. This is what he does. He says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek. That will I seek. So David understands that the presence of the Lord is the desirable thing, but he also understands that it's something that we must seek. We must pursue that presence of the Lord. It's not just simply that, oh, I really would love to experience the presence of the Lord. We need to seek the Lord as well. And the Lord told us that. Look in verse 8. Here's the dialogue between David and the Lord. Verse 7, he says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. Listen to this. When you said, seek my face. So this is God speaking to David. You said, seek my face. And then David's response, your face, Lord, I will seek. Your face, Lord, I will seek. So we're talking about the presence of God. And it's clear that God wants us to experience his presence. You know, sometimes it's easy to get caught up in working for the Lord. And it's wonderful to work for the Lord. Don't get me wrong. It is a wonderful thing to do, to be part of the work that God's doing in the world, to be used by him, to be an instrument. All of that is so fantastic. It's so wonderful. But sometimes we can exchange working for the Lord with the presence of the Lord, being with the Lord. And I have to remind myself of this a lot, that the Lord didn't redeem me first and foremost to be a worker. He allows me to work for him. He calls me into his service and so forth. But the first objective in our redemption is fellowship. God saved us so that he might have that relationship with us.
We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as he continues his series on the Songs of the Saints. Thank you for listening to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson. You know, Back to Basics is a listener-supported Bible teaching ministry. We couldn't do this without the prayers and financial support of friends like you. If today's message encouraged you, would you prayerfully consider supporting the ministry? You can also sign up for our newsletter to stay connected. Visit backtobasicsradio.com. And now, once again, here's Pastor Brian.
You know, we're told that David was a man after God's heart. And here we see
that coming through as David speaks of his one desire. His singular focus was to be in God's presence and to behold his face. And here we have that invitation from the Lord, seek my face. And David's response, your face, Lord, I will seek. That is God's invitation to us as well, to seek his face. And all we need to do, as David did, is just respond, Lord, your face I will seek, and do it. And we have the promise of that sense of God's presence with us.
Back to Basics is the listener-supported preaching and teaching ministry of Pastor Brian Broderson.